Welcome to the Bold Christian Ministry once again, and we want to appreciate God for what He has been doing in our lives and how He has limited faith for us to be in His presence today. So, one believer was seeing the flyer and was seeing the subject before us, topic before us that we will be talking about today. Based on the scriptures, and we will be looking at a few, about a couple of passages of scriptures, and then we will be able to go into the matter of today. So the topic before us is house of merchandise, and perhaps you've thought about it and you say, okay, I think this topic is similar to the communication between Jesus Christ and the Pharisees, right? And it's more or less like a sensitive subject, even in this end time, these days where we hear things goes around. And when it comes to matters like this, some of us are kind of like, you know, a bit sensitive, matters of riches, matters of wealth, treasures, and all that. It's you know, there's eye sensitivity. People are careful how they talk about riches and wealth and treasures, so they want to be guided so that they would not fall into error. So perhaps you've thought about it before. Maybe if a survey is administered as to why people come to church, maybe a survey is conducted and you ask people why they come to church. Some will say, well, I just like the atmosphere. Some may say, okay, the praise and worship works for me. I would say, probably the sermon. Yeah, maybe just to someone looking for a spouse or one looking for a life partner. Okay, I just come there, chat with friends. You know, so there might be different opinions kind of like, you know, going on back and forth as to the reason why people come to church. And of course, you would discover that if you have someone who is part of a unit in the church, a serving unit in the church, maybe ushering, maybe choir, maybe media, any space at all. I remember there was a time when someone in my team at work, way back, the person joined the ushering team of a church, of a particular church, and then he discovered that they kind of change clothes from time to time, right? And the different things that they wear to church is maybe quite on the expensive side in terms of the suits you have to wear as someone, as a protocol, someone in the protocol team or someone in the ushering team, and the kind of dress that they put on. He discovered that he wasn't able to cope, the shoes, everything. He wasn't able to meet up compared to his earning at the end of the month. So he had to quit, and then had to ask himself that, am I here to serve God? Or I'm here to spend all my money changing clothes every Sunday and changing ties and all that. So we'll read the passage of scripture. What we're talking about is house of merchandise. I'll be looking at the account of St. John's Gospel, chapter 2 in verse 13. I'll start from verse 13 just to read a few verse passage there. And it says there, John chapter 2 in verse 13 to 17, that's St. John's Gospel, the Gospels. It says there in verse 13, and the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and those and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of a small cord, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew their tables, and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence. Make not my father's house an house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house has eaten me up. The devotion to your house burns in me like a fire. So in verse 16, it says, take these things hence, make not my father's house an actual house of merchandise. So the Jesus Christ was talking to, entered into the temple and, you know, discovered there are issues going on in the temple. There are people who are selling probably oranges, changers of money, people who are selling sheep, goats, and all kinds of business transactions where, so they turned the where God is supposed to be worshipped to a house of merchandise. And if you look at today's church, you discover that this same discussion is still a subject that is being talked about, that has been discussed in the public space as to how the house of God has been turned to a place where people meet up for businesses, where people meet up for to catch up basically for the weekend, and then where people come in and all that. So people are not really there to worship. Where people come in to eat, to feast, or to eat something, and then to. So it is not really the word of God that some come to listen to. Some come to listen to the word of God. Some are there to. So it's actually a house that you can. Some churches are actually a church that you can call a church of merchandise. But the truth of them, going into the subject with a proper here, is should a church be a rich church? And now what is the context of rich, of being rich? Should a church be a poor church? How do we measure being poor? So these are two things that, you know, that we get to talk about. And if you look at Jesus' discussion, he was so angry that he got upset with the Pharisees that you people, you are meant to be the custodian of this place, but you have turned it to a den of thieves, and everything is just going, there are different transactions going on, and he was not happy about it. Now, if we want to take into account things that goes on, even personally with ourselves, and we ask ourselves, what kind of church is an ideal church? Is Christ modest in his teaching? What kind of church does God wants us to attend? Is it a rich church? Is it a church that is full of aesthetics? There are gold. Everything is just glooming. Everything is, you know, everything is just shining and all that. And it's even if somebody who is not well to do comes to the church, he will say, I don't think I belong there. And then the person will walk away. And, you know, when somebody who is rich comes, he say, yes, this is what befits me. This is where I should be. And then because he looks at the aesthetics of the church, and then he feels, because of the aesthetics, this is where I belong. God should be here and all that. Whereas there are those in the village, in the interior community, in the interior village, that sit on wood to listen to the word of God. Even the pulpit is not gold, is nothing, it's just a wood. Sometimes there is no pulpit. They just carry a chair and then put Bible on it and then teach. Does it mean God is not present there now? So what is the standard as to what God wants us to do in terms of not really prioritizing things that does not really edify in church, in terms of how the church should look, in terms of how the pulpit should look, in terms of how the pews should look, in terms of what people sit on? Should people be sitting on a wood chair? Should people be, you know, what are they? I think in all these things, there's something we have to keep in mind, that God wants us to be modest in terms of specification as to, and in fact, most of those things that are being built, if you discover when Noah was building an ark, for when God saddled him with an ark. He gave him certain specification as to what is needed, as to what is not needed. So majority of what we find in church today are things that are done in excess, basically. Some things are not needed. Some things doesn't make people see the house of God as being a house that people, that a common man can come into, like somebody who is not well to do can come into and then sit down and listen to the word of God. Because the person sees the place as, no, this place is too, look at my clothes, I'm not even up to, you know, and then the person walks away. And that has affected the psyche of those who attend churches today. That has affected the psyche of a lot of people. Even ministers of God, there are some ministers that will fight for a particular, just to pastor a particular assembly. They will fight, they will do everything to make sure that they have, even if they are some, maybe they discipline them, they go and open their own church because what? They see the house of God as an house of merchandise. So, and that has affected individuals as well. A church, somebody who is a member of the church or who wants to be a member of a church, enters into the church for the first time, see the protocol that ushered him in and says, I don't think I belong here, and then walks away. So, the question of being a church member and being a leader in church is calls for us to be careful about how we perceive the house of God. If you look at the book of Acts chapter 7 and verse 48, or Acts chapter 17, I mean chapter 7 and verse 48 to be precise, when the Bible talks about how be the Most High, it was Paul the Apostle I was speaking here, and it says there, howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophets, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. What house will you build me? So is God really concerned about the aesthetics of a church? What matters to God? What really matters to God in terms of how a church should look? So the heart of a man is important to God, how the shape of the heart is, and how we worship God. God is concerned about individual devotion to Him. Yes, He's concerned about individual devotion to Him. Why do you come to church? Do you come to worship God, or you come to because the place look good and then everything, you know? Why do we? So it's a question of being modest in what we do. Be modest in what we do. If a church leader, for instance, is being reposted, maybe the person was heading a particular church before, and then he has spent some years at the church, he has changed the look basically of that church, and the person was being reposted to a different church or a different location, or even out of the states, and he's being posted to a place where, in fact, when you get there, you have to it's like starting all over again. You have to labor again and allow God to use you so that you can bring the church up to. And the person says, no, I am not going there. I built this church, and then there are contentions and all that. Now you'll be asking yourself, is this person doing God's work? Or he sees the house of God as a house of merchandise. Or perhaps you relocated to a place, and where you are coming from, the church, the beauty of the church is the building. I mean, the building of that church is different from the one you want to. In fact, it's two different things entirely. And then you say, So that individual, are you there to listen to God's word, to serve God, or you are there because of the aesthetics? So the reason why you won't attend the church is because the church doesn't look, everywhere it's just The pulpit is wood everywhere. The chair is plastic. There is no foam, nothing. You are complaining, and are we? So there are this, all these things comes to play in one's mind, in one's heart, as to how we worship God. God is concerned about individuals' devotion to Him, individuals' devotion, individuals' commitment to his will, to His authority, to serving Him. So the church shouldn't be a place of where people come to discuss sports, or where people come to chat with friends, where people see as a place of catching up, or where people see as a place of cashing out. Because some these days it's just to cash. They want to be a pastor so that they can cash out. They can get some profits. They see it as a place of retirement. Oh, there's no job that pays than being a pastor. If you are a pastor, so money. In fact, when they calculate this, they will give you something. The members will bless you. This one will do this. So that's the reason why some people are pastors. So God is not happy with the way things are. And that was the reason why Jesus Christ said, if we prioritize, if we look at the world, you know, that we are, that the way that everything looks like the church, the face of the church and everything, if that is something that takes priority than the worship that we want to, that we bring to God, then we have not done anything at all. With what we are doing is according to what our flesh wants. So the church should not be seen as a place of merchandise, as a place of where there is buying and selling, things are just going, business transaction, things are just going on up and down, and then we now prioritize the wealth of the church. We prioritize the gold, we prioritize the aesthetics of the church rather than the worship we came to give to God. So that in its own sense, in terms of the merchandise that people perceive, that shouldn't be a thing that should preoccupy our mind. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all other things shall be added unto it. If our tag is the merchandise, the wealth that we seek for, we are always running after wealth. Anywhere we hear money like this, we just run. And then that has taken over our worship. It has taken over our devotion to God. God is not happy with it. He wants us to seek Him first, and every other thing shall be added. Someone slept and woke up with a brilliant business idea that will yield maximum profit that the person has never dreamt of all his life about since the person's existence. And the person took that business idea when he woke up and then made a presentation to his team, and then they invested money, and then it came up with huge profits, and then he got his own share and all that, and then he went to sleep again. And while sleeping, while he slept, something told him that, I need one quarter of the profits, the one you got, I need one quarter of it. And the Spirit of God woke him up and says, go take your car, go to the filling station, buy fuel, drive for 2 hours. Just keep going, just drive around. And then he kept driving, and he saw something, and the Spirit of God told him that, that money that I said you should reserve, go to that place and put it there. And the person brought all the evidence, all the reason why that place is not a place that I can invest in. It's not, it won't yield me any profit. And the person began to throw up an argument with God as to why there is no evidence of profit coming out of this place. I will just be as if I'm wasting money. And the person refused. So you begin to see reasons why wealth has taken over the mind of a lot of people. Money is good. I'm not saying don't use your money wisely. It's good. But there are some things that God will demand of us, because the person feels the idea the person has is the one that owns it. The idea just came. It's not something somebody that brought it to you. It just came on its own, and then you strike with it, and then it yields something and all that. So all those things that were going on, transaction, profit, all those things. So it's by your own ability and everything, and then somebody comes and tells you to drop something somewhere, and then you begin to bring up an argument and all that. So it shows that that's the heart of men. The hearts of men, which God does not want us to be laden with the things of this world. He doesn't want us in terms of how a church should look like, God has a specification as to how a church should look like. I talked about Noah's Ark. Specification. The ark was built to spec. This is how I want it to look like. The book of Genesis, when God told Noah, build me an ark of gopher wood. Specification. God is concerned about every matter about his church. When we say the house of God, he's concerned, even in the house, in the home, he's concerned about what you buy in your house. Yes. Some people will go and buy things, different things. He's concerned about an individual's house. He's concerned about the state of your heart as well. He's concerned about everything about us. How we do things. He's very concerned about it. So, it's important that we keep all these things in mind and work towards being modest in everything we do. The description Jesus gave, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle. I know we probably have come across that passage of scriptures before, where Jesus was talking in the book of Mark chapter 10 and verse 25. Mark chapter 10 in verse 25. Let me bring that up. Mark 10, 25. Mark 10, 25. But let me back up to. And Jesus, in verse 18, it says there, and Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and thy mother. And the man told him that, the person told him that, and he answered and said unto him, Master, all these I have observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatever thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven, and come take up the cross and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and he went away grieved, for he had great possession. In verse 23, and Jesus looked around about and said unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said unto them, children, how hard it is for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. So that is how God perceived wealth. That is how God perceived. God doesn't see wealth the way we see wealth. He doesn't see his house, the house of God that we go to worship, the way he sees his house. It's different. Jesus Christ's statement here is an example of how God sees wealth. How hard those that trust in riches, how hard is it for them to enter into it? And it's a parable. I mean, maybe it's a sarcasm there or something. That how it is easier for a camel. If you look at the word camel there, and you go and check about the reality, the facts about camel. You know, some of us know probably facts about some about camel, which is a mammal, you know, an animal. A camel can survive for over a week without water and can survive for several months without food. So they typically live in a desert that is hot and dry. That's their habitat, basically. So it's easier for that. So if you tell a rich man now that, if you tell somebody who is rich, who has been attending a church for, and you say, I want you to start attending this local church, you know, for 2 years, the person will fight you. You say that church, no, there's no AC there now. And then the person will begin to throw some fights up and begin to tell you, give you reasons why. They don't have a good chair. That chair, their chair is wood. Everything is wood. Everything, there is no foam, nothing. No ventilation, little ventilation. The person will give you different reasons why you will not be able to attend that church, that local church. If you remove a pastor from here and put the pastor in a church that is just, that is struggling to, you know, to even cover their bills, their expense for the month. The person will tell you, why you took me from the US and then you posted me in a remote village in Ghana. What kind of life is that? You want me to suffer all my life? And then the person will fight with you. The person will fight with you. Because what? The house of God is now a house of merchandise. So the person doesn't see his worship as something that is important than, you know, I'm not saying that we shouldn't make the house of God beautiful. The house of God should be beautiful, but can we make it modest? Can it be a place where both the rich and the poor can come into? That is what Christ is saying here. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle. It's easier than for a rich person, that somebody whose mind is preoccupied with, this is how I want. I must be in this church. I have to see. That is what we have in this end time. A lot of things are going on, and people will think that. There are some places that God has not visited those churches. He has never been there. Never been there. Whatever they put up, either the aesthetics of the church and everything, because what? It was built based on human intelligence and human ability that let's make this place one in town where we will be able to attract every people, you know, and all that, and that God, that's the altar of that church, house of merchandise. So it's time for us to start looking within ourselves. What do we give priority to? What are the things that we give priority to in our lives, in our homes, personally? God does not want us to put all our mind on rich things, things that does not have eternal value. It doesn't. Everything will die, will remain here. Everything, either gold, silver, wood, hay, whatever, everything is easily. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things shall be added. I pray God will help us in Jesus' name. Let us bow our heads as we commit ourselves into the hands of the Lord. Let's ask the Lord to help us and give us grace. Grace to be able to guide our hearts with all diligence, to be able to serve his will, to serve his purpose on earth.